You're listening to Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Spring is here. Perhaps you're already barbecuing in these warm spring, almost summer days. What if your next tasty tenderloin came from a test tube instead of a cattle ranch? Or the chicken in that shish kebab was grown in a laboratory instead of on a poultry farm? Would you feel any different about eating it? And if you're a vegetarian, would the lab-grown beef or chicken turn you into a nouveau meat eater? Well, animal rights organization PETA is beta testing, and they're betting that the test tube meat is the way of the future, and it's offering a $1 million prize. Are you listening? You can win a prize here. A lot of science is being done by prizes these days. You can win $1 million to be the first scientist who gets there first if you can develop test tube tenderloin. That's what we're going to dub it this hour. They will pay the money to any scientist who makes chicken in the lab that looks and feels and tastes the same as the real thing, or tenderloin or beef. And not only do you have to make it, you have to be able to ramp it up to commercial scale and get it all on in the stores and in the meat freezers by 2012. You've got until 2012 to come up with your test tube tenderloin. Joining us now is a scientist who is working in the field. He's here to talk about the science behind test tube meat and the problems that still need to be worked out if that $1 million meat will make it out of the lab and onto the table. If you'd like to get in on the discussion, our number is 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. You can also find us in Second Life on Science Friday Island. Vladimir Mironov is an associate professor in the Department of Cell Biology and Anatomy at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. Dr. Mironov joins us by phone from Singapore, where he is currently the Tan Chin Tuan Fellow at the Nanyang Technical University. Welcome to the program, Dr. Mironov.
Welcome. Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Tell us how is there new science that has to happen here, or is this basically an engineering problem?
Oh, that's very good questions. Because, you know, scientists usually investigate worlds which already exist. Engineers create worlds which never exist. So I think when you talk about tissue engineering meat, it's not so much scientific task, it's more engineering task. And if you ask me about scientific aspect, then in 1907, American Ross Harrison was the first probably scientist who isolated cells and started to grow cells in cell culture. Therefore, from a scientific point of view, this is 100 years old technology.
So the idea is to take cells, grow them in culture, and allow them to grow enough so that you recreate the meat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's the field of what is booming already last 20 years called tissue engineering. But tissue engineering focusing on creating tissue and organs for repair and replacement in human body. And the novelty of our approach is that we want to think about another aspect of tissue engineering to create basically food. Mm-hmm. And there are several challenges which is left, of course, but basically, from my perspective, I don't see unsolvable problem how to transfer this technology in industrial scalable technology. But I'm a little bit skeptical that $1 million will be enough.
Yeah, we've had other prizes in the $10 and $20 million range. This is not that much, is it?
Yeah.
Tell us about the challenges that you just mentioned. What are some of the challenges that await you?
I can say that basically there's five main challenges. Number one, you must, of course, find the appropriate cell source. And there's two groups of the people, two point of views. One believes that you must start from embryonic cells because they are multipotent and they have high proliferative potential, but because they are not differentiated, you know, you must spend a lot of efforts to force them to go to smooth muscle, to skeletal muscle lineage, and it needs special growth factors or transcription factors, therefore it's challenging. But the good things with embryonic cells that they can, embryonic stem cells that they can proliferate, and they have very low high flick effect. So the second group of the people believe that it's better to start from so-called myoblast. It's progenitor cells, it's cells which are on the periphery of skeletal fibers, which is already committed to be a skeletal muscle. But from the other side, their proliferation potential, so-called Hayflick number, is a little bit limited. So what will be the decision, what will be the solution, it will show the time.
And what do you grow the cells in?
Oh, that's a very good question. This is the second question, because in standard cell culture, people use, of course, some kind of fluid which imitate blood, without erythrocytes, of course. And the main component of cell culture media is serum, which has animal origin. So there's no any point to create animal-free TCGN meat if you still use animal-derived serum. So the challenge is to design so-called defined cell culture media, which contain all necessary and sufficient elements to allow cells to grow and don't contain any unknown element like black box, like serum, and also which is relatively economically reasonable, because I can say that serum and cell culture is very expensive now.
How close to texture, feel, taste would the synthetic meat, so to speak, the test tube meat, come to normal real meat from an animal?
Yeah, this is, again, interesting point, but I don't believe it necessary that tissue engineering meat must have taste and texture of real chicken meat. And there's two reasons for this. Number one, if you go to grocery store, there's a lot of product which doesn't have any taste of real meat or real skeletal muscle, like nuggets or sausage, you know. So what the point is to create a protein which healthy animal protein. That's one aspect. The second aspect is technological. If you really want to create meat with the taste and texture, that became much more challenging, because then you must produce not only skeletal fibers from myoblast, you must also produce fat tissue, which is not a big deal, and also produce blood vessels, because if the tissue became very thick, then you must have vasculature, and then you must have connective tissue, which creates this texture, and it became very, very complicated, and most important, it's not scalable. And if it's not scalable, then it's not industrial friendly. And if it's not industrial friendly, then you never produce this in a large scale.
We have a question here from Bauer in Second Life, who says, would it be a good idea to combine genes of animals and mushrooms, for example, in such a way that the meat could be cultured as mushrooms are, or to have plants make the meat for us?
Yeah, there's some people who believe, actually, there's a discussion website in Europe, and they don't like the idea of tissue engineering meat. They call this American cultural imperialism, McDonald's again. But one commentator said a very nice name for this technology. They call this hydroponic meat. And I think this is reflect the point. We don't use any genetical engineering. We don't modify the cells. We use natural cells and try to put them in natural, or we call this biomimicking environment, and we want to create tissue which look like natural tissue. Therefore, there is no any genetical modification here. And concerning the mushrooms, I've heard two types of discussion. One, people say that you can use this for cell culture media, which I don't understand completely. And another interesting idea, that if you look on mushrooms, they have so-called chitosan. And chitosan is a very interesting polymer, because number one, it's eatable, and number two, it's absorbed fat. So basically, you can create, if you combine, use chitosan as a scaffold or temporal support for these cells. And cells need support because they are attachment dependent. If you grow them only in suspension, they will not grow. They must attach to something. If you attach them to the bottom, then you have only limited surface. So spheres or sponges that will increase surface area for cells and make technology more effective. So chitosan, which is edible and which is also absorb fat, can create tissue engineering meat, which will be not only useful, but also can be sold as a functional food because it can reduce fat consumption.
So you could have a big, giant portobello mushroom that already looks and tastes almost like beef, but actually have real beef in it.
Look, I'm an animal specialist, okay? And you asked me a question about mushrooms.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to it. We'll move on to stuff that's you're a little more. Our listeners are very eager to talk about this, but you could make the meat, as you say, to specifications. You could make it less fatty, or for example, or more nutritious, as you'd like to produce it.
I think if you the taste of the meat depends on percent of fat. Therefore, we can take again stem cells and force them to be fat cells, and then we can make mixture of skeletal fibers with fat cells. Therefore, in this context, it's not a big challenge. The second aspect is how to make texture. I think that's the challenging stuff.
Yeah, making texture. 1-800-989-8255. Lots of people want to ring in on this. Hi, Dan in Washington. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there.
I think this is a great program. I have been a vegan for about 5 years, and I'm a vegan just because of the way I understand animals are treated in factory farms. So I'm a big supporter of this. I would certainly eat this meat if it becomes marketable. One question I have, I understand that there is a big environmental impact on when factory farms produce meat, and was wondering if this sort of test tube meat would be better for the environment.
Good question.
Yeah, it's very good questions. And one of my friends, Jason, who runs this website, New Harvest, he is especially focusing on this area. And according to his calculations, is impact on the environment of tissue engineering meat technology is enormous because it's actually reduced area which is occupied by growing wheat and other stuff which you need to grow animals. And I believe another important impact is also that if you do it indoor, then you can use land on the earth much more effectively. And because it will be FDA-controlled environment, it will be probably very clean, very high-tech technology.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow talking with Vladimir Mironov about test tube meat. Lots of people have various opinions about it. Let's get a couple of more from Lucy in Chicago. Hi, Lucy.
Yes, hello. My husband, I wish he were here. He's currently at work, but he went through MIT in the Department of Nutrition and Food Technology with a NASA scholarship. His fellowship and scholarship required him to find ways to produce food, including meat, on spaceflight through using waste product, specifically Escherichia coli. And I just wanted to say that, you know, using a tissue culture is not the only way to do this. You can use waste product, as unpleasant as it sounds, and come out with a great number of food products that could resemble very, very closely the real thing. I just wanted to have your
comment
on that.
Yeah. In Soviet Union, there was a secret experiment to using Escherichia coli to produce protein. And they succeeded in this. There was only one problem. Yes, they can produce protein, but the smell was so terrible that nobody wanted even to taste this.
Details.
That's number one. Number two, yes, you can use also transgenic plant, and they can produce one or maximum two proteins. The beauty of tissue engineering approach that you create authentic, natural-like tissue which contain not just one protein, which you can use when you use the transgenic plants. You can create complex protein, protein which is have very high nutritional value. That's what my collaborator Douglas Markson told me from Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Howard, would you have to flavor it in any way, or add artificial flavors, or you know, make it taste more like real meat that people are used to?
If you look carefully, what is the tendency now in food industry, especially in the United States, and it's very well described in the book Fast Food Nation. In New Jersey, there's 27 plants which produce so-called artificial flavor. Therefore, the question of flavors now is not a question of original product; it's a question of artificial flavors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you think this meat would cost less than regular meat that we have now?
If you look on the history of technology, you know, any high-tech product in the beginning, especially at the initial stage, cost a lot of money because that's how much money you must invest in development of this technology, in development of built-in plant. And if you look on microelectronics, for example, there is some interesting example which demonstrate that original product will have a certain price, but after market penetration and scalable technology implementation, the price reduced 1,000 times.
Hmm. Well, you know what the price, agriculture is...
To say that we can produce right now product with comparable price will be not realistic. But yeah, eventually, I think it will be maybe even cheaper than recent technology.
Well, with the price of oil going up near $120 a barrel and agriculture so energy intensive, you may be right about that. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today, Doctor.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you for staying up so late there for us across the globe. Vladimir Mironov is Associate Professor in the Department of Cell Biology and Anatomy at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, and he was on the phone today from Singapore, which is a few time zones ahead of us. So early in the morning hours, we'd like to thank him for being with us. We're going to take a short break and come back and change direction once again about a story you heard about. We started it about a year ago. New information about soft tissue findings in a T-Rex dinosaur that may show that it's just as close to birds as we think it might be. So stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.